The whistle's going to blow at 20 after. Is that when it used to blow? You don't believe me? Huh? You don't think so? Thank you, Alicia. Thank you. She believes in me. Everybody needs somebody to believe in them. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 30. We've went through 9 gates. Who's the 3 people that we think of when we think of Jerusalem being rebuilt again? Who's the 3 people we think of that were instrumental? Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was instrumental in rebuilding the temple. Ezra was instrumental in reestablishing the scriptures. And then Nehemiah was the wall. All right. And so we get to verse 30. After him, these that repaired the east gate, after him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanan, the 6th son of Zalaph, another piece. After him repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber. They were invested, I've said that before. Their homes were invested in the house of God, and our homes should be invested in the house of God as well. After him repaired Malchiah, the goldsmith's son, under the place of the Nethinims and of the merchants, over against, and here we have the name of the last gate, over against the gate Mifkad, and to the going up of the corner, and between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate, repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. So we've come full circle, and this is the last gate. Let's pray, see what God will show us tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for what you've done already here. Thank you for those that are present. Thank you for the ability to be able to pray. Thank you for the ability to participate in other people's lives, whether it be our missionaries or those that are in need of prayer or sick or out of church tonight or whatever the situation may be, missionaries laboring all over the world or even being able to participate in Brother O'Malley's need that he has. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that we're not just consumers, but we're producers, Lord. As priests, we produce, we mediate effectual, fervent prayers for other people. We come to you in needs of our own, but yet bring our friends' needs to you. And so we ask you to minister there tonight. Speak to our hearts before Sunday. Help us to figure out what we can do as well. Help us tonight, Lord. Help me to keep my mind straight. Thank you for this study, Lord. I keep saying to myself when I'm done pastoring, I hope I'm as passionate about studying the Word of God and finding little nuggets to help me in my life to share with other people. So thank you for what you've shown me in these gates, and thank you that I got to see your sovereignty even more so. So help us to close out this study tonight, not that we'll forget it, but that it'll be an intricate part of our lives and we'll see you more clearly, I plea. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight ends our series looking at the gates of Jerusalem. Was God trying to show them the way? And I say he was. And he was showing it very vividly to them. And I use the text verse Hebrews, God who at sundry times in divers manners. And we see him at sundry times. This was a destruction of Jerusalem. That was a sundry time. And in divers manners, it was different gates. And those different gates all represented certain things that God was trying to continually show them. The way to peace was from the city of Jerusalem. And he will be and establish that again, and we'll have peace eventually one day. But he was always trying to show and establish a place that we could have that. I believe many of them saw it. I believe Nehemiah saw it. I believe Zerubbabel saw it. I believe Ezra saw it. I don't know if they saw it with the same sight that we see it today. We have much more than they have, plus we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. But I do believe they saw it, and that's what gave them the burden. The closer vision you'll see of God will give you a better vision to reestablish what he's doing here and help other people reach him as well. You show me somebody that doesn't have a burden for other people, and I'll show you somebody who hasn't really seen God. And so there are many things I could say regarding this study for me personally, But I'll just say this. It has given me a much bigger picture of God in Scripture and has added to my faith greatly. And I don't just say that lightly, I mean that. I found so many little extra nuggets while studying that have so increased my faith in regard to the whole. Many times for me, I can look at something and just brush it off as a possible coincidence. I'm talking about Scripture. Or me trying to read into something that isn't really there. But there are so many instances of purpose and intent that it can't be overlooked. God was very purposeful in how He designed this city. He had much intent. Everything that He did, it was just like when He spoke to Joe in the Helps Ministry, help me with his name, that was the helper to Moses. He had a help ministry. So there's the man that God used in the Helps Ministry for Moses. All the measurements, all the things that had to be done, He equipped him. He empowered him. Did I hear somebody yell it out? Some of you Timothy guys better start studying your Bible. I'm to the age now I can forget things. You're to the age you're supposed to remember things. Can I get some amen from the gray hair in here? Thank you. Janet dove right in on that one. So many times for me, I can look at something, brush it off as a possible coincidence, or me trying to read into something that really isn't there. But there are so many instances, as I said, of purpose and intent that it can't be overlooked. And thus reassures me that God truly was trying to then to show them Himself and continues that thought to today. He's constantly trying to show us Himself. And He's standing in the shadows everywhere trying to demonstrate who He really is. And we should be a demonstration of who He really is. It is my responsibility, or should I say my desire, to look for Him. I should seek Him in the Scriptures. I should look for Him in every scenario. I should try and find Him in every little passage. Where are You, God? What are You doing? Because if you can look for Him and find Him in the little passages in Scripture, then it won't be so hard for you to look for Him and find Him in the intricate parts of your life. And so it is my responsibility, or should I say my desire, to look for Him. Seek Him, if you will. And isn't that the Christian journey, looking for and seeking Him? So let's dive into this last one tonight. Before we do, I want to just list the gates again with a simple definition or picture for each of them. When I do, I want each of us to look at the list. Watch this now. I want each of us to look at the list. There will be a special, not quiet prize, but guess the right answer prize with maybe a special treat that I have in my office that Honora is trying to take from me. I went to my office. Somehow she got in there. I went in there. She was sitting at the desk, hands folded, in my chair, just spinning it back and forth like this, waiting for me to get in. And she'd been in there for a while because when she got up, it was warm. And I said, okay, you get special prizes. And special prizes tonight was Twizzler Bites. I shouldn't say that out loud because Charity will want to come in there and get Twizzler Bites. Oh, Lord, please help me. And so I want to dive right in. I don't know what got me on that one. Oh, special prize. If you guess this last gate, special prize. When I do list these, I want each of us to look at the list and think of what the last one could be or what is missing from the gates and the picture shown in each gate for our personal lives. It's much like we did the journey of Jesus. And with the journey of Jesus, a couple of people texted the tour guide and said, hey, you've missed this spot. See if you can find, and anybody watching this online, and Jacob Inman should be, he can text us as well and see if he guessed it for the special prize. Because if he's not, I'm going to ask him later on what I said, and then he'll be penalized as a Timothy guy. All right? So here they are. First in the order that Nehemiah listed them, the sheep gate. Does anybody remember what that speaks of? Oh, good. I'm glad everybody paid attention. Joey, what's the sheep gate speak of? All right, thank you. Nobody remembers that, Ryan. No. The sheep gate speaks of salvation. Remember? Right? Remember? Just somebody nod your head, please. Speaks of salvation. The sheep come in there and they're slaughtered. For what? As a picture of salvation. Then we go to the fish gate, was the next one. And that speaks of what? Okay, this is going to be really good. It's like a teacher reviewing before we take the final exam. I'm glad all the students were listening. The fish gate speaks of fishing for souls. It's our responsibility to fish for souls. Then we went to the old gate, and the old gate speaks of... Okay, Ryan, why don't you go to the principal's office for lack of listening in class? The old gate speaks of principles, statutes, precepts. I'm encouraged on how much you guys have learned in this. I am. I'm overjoyed tonight. My glass of milk is going to be sour when I drink it. Then we go next to the valley gate, right? The valley gate speaks of death, but what else? Huh? Defeat, thank you. Valleys, you're going to find those things in the valleys, okay? It speaks of the valleys in our life where there's death and discouragement and defeat. Then we come to the dung gate, and that speaks of stuff we need to get out of our lives. Here's a good thing. Sins, weights, which does so easily beset us. It's good to clean out the house every once in a while. It's good to clean out your life every once in a while. Get that dung out of your life, the things that smell. Then we went next to the fountain gate, and the fountain gate speaks of, and who does that? What would be a person in the Trinity that the fountain gate speaks of? Welling in you is the Holy Spirit. I know I wrote a lot of things down in our notes, but I'm trying to summarize what the main theme of the gate. But you're right, those are the things that we mentioned. It speaks of the Holy Ghost. It's a fountain flowing in you. It's welling up inside of you, the Holy Ghost. Then the water gate speaks of the Word of God. And then the horse gate speaks of battle, warfare, Ephesians 6. We're supposed to be soldiers in His army. We're supposed to get on our horses and fight. The east gate speaks of power, God's preeminence. He's coming through that gate one day. Amen? And then that brings us to our last gate, the Mifkad gate. Does anybody, for the special prize tonight, want to take a guess? When we look at all these areas of our Christian life, and all of these areas are in our Christian life, and should be in our Christian life, and when they are, we'll have peace with God, and that's what the city represented. Oh my goodness, Josh. Man, that's close. You know, Ryan, Josh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give that one to you. You come see me Sunday, all right? Anybody want to try and refine it better than that? Last gate, huh? It is a gate of command, whether you obeyed them or not. Last hint. You get the special prize as well. Here's what I called it, though, and it brings us to our last gate. The Mifkad gate. So as it has been for all the other gates we have looked at, we will use the same matrix with this one. We will do a little research concerning this gate and then draw a conclusion and make an application for us today, real quick. All right? Who's got the Awana whistle? All right? First, this gate is only mentioned by name once in Scripture, and it is here in Nehemiah chapter 3, and verse 31. As I stated, interesting thing about this word for this gate, it can only be found in Scripture once. And it is here in verse 31. And I'll read it. After him repaired Malchiah, the goldsmith's son, unto the place of the Nethinims, and of the merchants over against the gate Mifkad, and to the going up of the corner. That merchants is very important here, because it was very close, and I'm not so sure that it was, and it's very close to the sheep gate. And what did Jesus do at the sheep gate? He turned the tables over. Why did he turn the tables over? The merchants were there, and what were they doing? And they weren't justly weighing things out correctly. It's very important. Just because we see him come in that gate doesn't mean there's another side to that. There wasn't a wall there. So it's a gate. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but as Joshua said about our sins and cleansing and so on and so forth, it is a gate of examination. They weighed things out there. They weighed things out. They looked at things. They, as Alicia said, they judged things. Now, I'm going to have a different name for it, obviously. But the word Mifkad simply means assignment. Just that word. Now, follow with me. When you look it up, it means assignment. Here's another thing to note. The Mifkad gate is not mentioned specifically in other places in Scripture, but the word is translated four other times in Scripture and is used as the word appointment. Here's an example. Ezekiel 43 and 21. Thou shalt take the bullock. Here's what Joshua was saying. Thou shalt take the bullock also of the sin offering, and he shall burn it in the appointed place of the house without the sanctuary. That word appointed is that same word that we get Mifkad from. It's used four times in Scripture. Mifkad specifically, as that's said, they say it as the Hebrews would have said it, is Mifkad. It's translated the other way as an appointment, assignment. Then next, we know, as we have now seen these last three gates, there was three other places. I didn't mention them. I mean, I could have, but I didn't this time for sake of the Awana whistle. As we have now seen, these last three gates were very close together. Here's another thing about this. It begins to show us a bigger picture pertaining to this last gate regarding the whole. So we have, do you have that up there again? For sake of time, you're missing my whistle now. Spread it out. So see, these right here, in the whole scope of the whole city, Horse Gate, East Gate, Mifkad Gate, are very, very close to each other. And as we go around this way, right, they are one after the other, and each one of them, all of them are united together, but Horse Gate, East Gate, Mifkad Gate are all specifically timelined out in Scripture as well, and the teaching that is revealed. The Mifkad Gate brings us full circle back around to the Sheep Gate. And it is the final gate that Nehemiah lists. He re-lists the Sheep Gate to tell the reader or those that had rebuilt the wall that we've now come full circle. Some had to be repaired more than others. It is the final gate that Nehemiah lists or rebuilds, and I believe tells us and them then the full story of God's purpose for man to be able to have peace with God. Many commentators refer to this gate by various titles. You'll see if you do a study of this out, they might not necessarily just always call it the Mifkad Gate. They may call it and is referred to many times as the Muster Gate. Anybody that's in the military or anybody that would be a police officer would understand that term muster. It's where there is a calling of, if you will, of those that are, for lack of a better term, soldiers. Police officers are in a way a soldier. And you muster. We're going to have a muster. We're going to get together. And there's going to be an inspect. When we mustered, didn't we? I don't know if the Air Force did this, Brother Colossa, but I know we did, and there'd be a what that would took place when you mustered. An inspection. They'd inspect you. And in that inspection, they'd also command you, and so on and so forth. And so we see that this there's various different titles for this gate other than Mifkad. It's Muster Gate or the Inspection Gate or, as we see in Scripture here, Mifkad Gate, which simply means inspection and appointment. Most commentators agree it was a place to assemble. That's why they called it the Muster Gate. And gather for official or formal gatherings and possibly for census purposes. Again, these things give us a twofold picture into the plan of God. Here's the twofold picture. I don't know if anybody's seeing it unfold when we use these terms we've used. What is it that was missing at the beginning of our list of the gates? And Elisha nailed it. The other ones were very close, so I'm going to be very generous. What was missing from this list of other gates was examination and judgment. You have to examine yourself in the Christian life, don't you? You have to stop periodically and say, where am I at? And I say this often. In our examination, we ought to live in light of what? The judgment seat of Christ. If you live your life and examine yourself through Scripture in light of the judgment seat of Christ, then there will be a less that you'll have to deal with at that muster when we're all gathered together, when there's an inspection of the troops. There will be a lot less you have to answer for if you periodically muster and come there to be inspected by God Almighty. Here's some verses of Scripture. And what is it that will be our final task as believers before the city is restored? The judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a muster. We're going to muster there. Every soldier that's been in the battle is going to muster at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to come through that eastern gate, and that last gate is an inspection gate. And guess what's going to take place? There's going to be an examination of the things done in the body, whether good or evil. For everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Hebrews 9 and 27 says this, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We recently did that. What were we doing? We were examining. Where do we see the picture of that examination? We see it all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You could not get in. You could not intend to get in, should I say, until you were examined at that gate and the flaming sword was there and the cherubims guarded it. You couldn't get back in until Scripture was fulfilled, but you definitely weren't going to get back in until you got examined. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Oh, verse 11, chapter 11 and verse 28 of 1 Corinthians. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. That is a responsibility of every believer. As you journey in this city of peace, and the 15 steps, and all the things that we've looked at through Scripture, what takes place? There has to be a daily examination of our lives. And so many don't do that. As was this city, so is our life today, and thus why I say this often. We ought to live our lives in light of the judgment seat of Christ. So with that being said, I didn't hear the whistle yet. With that being said, as we've done with all the other ones, I want to just give you three simple thoughts that I won't expound upon regarding this gate and its application for us today, and we'll be done. First, it was a gate of examination, obviously. It was a muster gate. It was an inspection gate. It was an appointment, an assignment gate. Examination speaks of inspection, and this is exactly what this gate was used for and pointed to the daily examination we should be doing as we seek to dwell in that city of peace. And the future examination at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. Peter said this, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? What's going to happen to those ones outside of the gate? We'll read Revelation to find out what's outside of the gate. Because what's inside of the gate submitted to what those gates showed us in our lives. Because watch this, we wanted to go in and out. I want to be in that city of peace. And in order to me have peace in my life, I have to visit each one of those gates. That was a city of peace, and God will establish that city of peace again. And it will not be established without judgment. Who can be there and who can't be there? And if it begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? It was not only a gate of examination, it was a gate of expectation. Anyone in or involved in this city knew and expected what this place of muster and inspection was for. I probably could have written it down. There was obviously a call to muster, just like there was anywhere. Just like there was in the military, there was a call to muster. And when you mustered, you knew you were coming for inspection. Do you know why a lot of people stay out of church? They don't want to muster. You know why they don't want to muster? Because they don't want to be inspected. They just don't want to be inspected. That's why the churches that are growing exponentially now, and I use that word churches, small c, and very loosely, they don't want to muster for inspection. They want to muster for affirmation. Make me feel better about the sin that I'm living in. I don't want to change at all. It was a gate of expectation. And for us today, there should be an expectation to be inspected at the house of God. I was talking to Joe not too long ago. We had a difficult conversation. And Joe said, it wasn't me, it was him. And I said to Joe, I said, Joe, in all the 13 years you've known me, and you've heard me say a lot of difficult things, have you ever seen me intentionally say something that was hard to hurt somebody? Or was I saying something hard to help somebody? I said it the other night at church. I think it was Sunday night. I longed for somebody. It was a Sunday morning talking about the indwelling presence. Wouldn't everybody like a, what was the term I used? A life coach? We have a life coach. It's called the Holy Spirit. And you know when he's at his best? When the Word of God is elevated and the man of God takes the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and washes our feet. And what are we washing? We're washing the sin. There's an expectation when I come into a person's house and he girds himself, he's going to wash the dirt off of my feet. Those things that come in contact with the world. Peter said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus said, if I can't wash your feet, then you're not involved in this. You're not. He said, well, then wash me everywhere. He says, Peter, I don't need to wash you everywhere. I just need to wash that area that comes in contact with your feet. I'm not looking for it. I'm not shooting for it. But opening the Word of God should touch on some areas of our lives that we have gotten dirty from this world this week. And muster is not only a gate of examination, it is a gate of expectation. I'm not going to get away from it. That drill sergeant would stand before the company, the platoon or whatever, and then he'd walk one by one. You've seen him before, and they grab their weapons, and they look at them, and they got the white gloves on. And I'll never forget it, man. I went, and I thought, man, I could get away with it. We had to get up at, like, I don't know what it was, O Dark 30 is what we called it. Get up at O Dark 30 to go run PT, and before you did that, you had to get all your personal things out of the way, and you had to shave. I've been growing a beard since I was 13. I said, man, this morning I just don't feel like it. Got up there. That was the day he had his little flashlight in his pocket. And he inspected us before we went on the PT run. And Private Lovett, private with no rank, I mean E1, that doesn't even give you a stripe, comes up and he's, Private, you didn't shave this morning. Guess what he had in his pocket? A safety razor. And he said, here's some water, it's nice and warm, here's a warm towel, here's some shaving cream, just shave real quick before we can go. No, he handed me a safety razor and said, we'll leave when you shave your face like you were supposed to be before you came. And I said, you're not affirming me. I gave my life up to come here to help you. What are you doing? I volunteered for this. No. I'll tell you what, the best thing some Christians could do is go into the service. It was a gate of expectation. The problem today is no one wants the life inspected. It is a do-as-I-please age we live in, and when folks come to church, the pillar and ground of truth where judgment must first begin, they want affirmation, not expectation and examination. So it was a gate of examination. It was a gate of expectation. Lastly, it was a gate of exhilaration. Don't you know, after I was inspected that day, that every other day afterwards I shaved. And then when I saw somebody else have to dry shave, I was exhilarated. Because I had been examined And I had been expectant for it to happen again, and I said, it ain't going to happen anymore. And you know what? That's not what happens in church. We just keep repeating the same bad behavior over and over again because we don't muster at the gate of inspection. It was a gate of exhilaration. In that day, and the one to come, in that day then, and the one to come, it will be a fearful thing, but when the words enter in, thou good and faithful servant, are spoken, it will be a time of exhilaration. And so shouldn't it be today when we hear the word of God and our life is examined and we course correct. Every service we have is an opportunity for me to wash feet and for you to say, I want that out of my life, and to come to the altar and say, I want peace. I was telling somebody the other day, I'm telling you, the reason you're tormented. I said this to this person. I said, the reason you struggle and there's so much torment going on in your life is because you will not go to 1 John and deal with your sin. And so your sin will constantly torment you. When you cast your cares upon him because he careth for you, you have an advocate. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Keep short accounts with God. Go to the inspection gate frequently. Travel to all the other gates. Be encouraged at the valley gate. Get the dung out of your life at the dung gate. Understand the filling of the Holy Spirit at the fountain gate. Dive into the Word of God at the water gate. Go to the old gate and learn the principles. Understand those principles. When you frequent every one of those gates and you stay there and you learn the riches there, then when you get to that final gate, you'll have an exhilaration that you've done the best that you could with what you've had. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight. Lord, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I've so enjoyed the study of this. It's so helped me, but it's been such a battle as well. And I realize sometimes when you seek truth and you find truth, then the devil makes you live truth and makes you yearn for truth and makes you want truth in spite of the fights within the truth. So thank you for that, Lord. Continue to keep me, my mind set on the Word of God. Lord, be patient with me. Be compassionate with me. Be graceful with me. Lord, I'm trying my best, as is everybody else in here. Help us to learn the riches of these studies. Apply them to our lives. And Lord, not just be hearers of the Word, but doers. Help us, Holy Spirit, as we're learning on Sunday mornings, that we have an inner voice that speaks to us, guides us and compels us. And help us, Lord, to yield to that voice and show us the fruit of yielding to that voice so we can continue to yield even more. Thank you personally for this study, Lord. I pray it's been a blessing to somebody else. Speak to us tonight in regards to this inspection gate. I pray that feet were washed tonight. I pray that an examination took place tonight. I pray that when some came, there was an expectation. And Lord, as we confess our sins and we're expected and we examine, that we have an exhilaration that will obey you. Help us, I plea. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.